Hello and welcome back. Tonight we're going to discuss one of the most important cases of all of tort law. If you go to law school, you'll see this as one of your first cases when you take your class on torts. It does two major areas of tort law, combines them together, interweaves them. One, for what we wanted to talk about tonight, foreseeability, and the second is products liability law. It was a case that occurred in the New York Court of Appeals in 1916. It was written by the incredibly brilliant Benjamin Cardozo. Benjamin Cardozo we've seen before, was the chief judge of the Court of Appeals in New York State. He goes on to become an associate justice to the Supreme Court of the United States. He's appointed by Herbert Hoover to that role. Remarkable man, brilliant lawyer, brilliant genius of a mind. He makes sense of a very difficult problem that occurred in this case. Let me tell you a little bit about the facts, because they are interesting and concerning. First and foremost, it was a rather serious accident. The person involved, Donald McPherson, who was a stone cutter by trade, had saved all of his money to buy an automobile, which was a major purchase back in 1916. He buys a 1909 Buick Runabout. Buick was a very high quality car manufacturer back then, as it is today. They had a wonderful reputation back then, and they still maintain that today. So he didn't just buy an old jalopy. He bought a car which had a very high level of reputability and a great reputation. And he paid quite a bit of money for the car, particularly in 1916 standards, particularly as a person who was a stone cutter. And when he buys this car, he uses it to travel around in his community. Donald McPherson was riding in the car one day. He was not the driver, but he was riding in the car one day. And all of a sudden, one of the wheels falls apart. It crumbles down. It was manufactured with defective wood. There were problems with the wooden spokes, as you can see from our picture of the car. That is a 1909 Buick Runabout. And the spokes gave way. The car crashed. And as you can see, Mr. McPherson was thrown out of the car and sustained rather horrific damages as a result. Mr. McPherson and his family sues the Buick Motor Company. They are the company that manufactured the car. They're the company that put the wheels on the car. And they sued them in tort. All of a sudden, Buick raises a whole bunch of defenses in this action, because they know they're going to pay a lot in damages, because Mr. McPherson is badly injured, needs a lot of health care, and it's a result of this accident. And the accident was not caused by the driver. They didn't hit a pothole or anything. It was the fact that the wheel collapsed in on itself, causing the car to tip over and have Mr. McPherson thrown from the car, immediately coming to an immediate stop and wrecking the car and causing all kinds of damages. The question was this a foreseeable accident? And is Buick the right company to sue? Were they the ones that did it? The first defense the Buick raises is, hey, we made the car, we assembled the car, but we didn't make the wheel. The wheel was made by a third party, not us. You have to sue them. Was not us who sold who made that wheel. That wheel was made by a third party. We just put it on the car. So sue the guys who made the wheel. Don't sue us. And that was one of their defenses. The second defense they said was, hey, we didn't sell the car to Mr. McPherson. That was sold by a dealer. And the dealer who had the car sold it to Mr. McPherson. We're not the dealer. We sold the car to the dealer. So they're suing the wrong people. Sue the dealer. They're the ones who actually sold them the car. Well, that they claim also breaks the foreseeability because we didn't manufacture the wheel. We didn't sell the customer the car. So where does Benjamin Cardozo come down on these defenses? He says they're not real defenses. What does he say? Is there a duty of care by Buick to this customer? And was Buick's actions responsible to the customer for his injuries? He says, yes, this is foreseeable. He finds foreseeability here. Why? Number one, yes, Buick did not manufacture the wheel. But when they assembled the car, they put on a wheel, which prudent inspection of the wheel, if they looked at the spokes, they could have seen that that wheel was defective. They could have seen that a reasonable person would have noticed that those defective spokes that they saw when they put the wheel on the car would have broken and caused a serious injury to occur on the car. So it wasn't the fact that they manufactured the wheel, but the fact that they assembled the wheel onto the car and should have inspected those spokes, because a reasonable person would have seen it when they put it on the car, that particularly a person who was experienced in manufacturing cars and assembling them would have known that that wheel would have caused an injury. And the second thing that they said was, we don't care that Buick didn't directly sell the car. That's not the way that cars are sold. Cars are go from a manufacturer to a dealer. They maintain the Buick name on the dealership, and they are a person in the regular stream of, quote, commerce, in which there's an expectation and a foreseeability that a person who buys that Buick car from that Buick dealer is buying it from Buick. The mere fact that there is a legal fiction that another person actually owns the dealership who buys the cars from Buick and then sells them to the customer, that's an irrelevant legal fiction. So as a result of that, Benjamin Cardozo says, you have foreseeability on behalf of Buick, that they could see that that wheel that they assembled was negligently made, that it was a defective product, and they put that product through their dealer that they had an exclusive relationship with into the stream of commerce, which it would be purchased by consumers. This is where the product liability issue comes in. So Cardozo finds that when you have a manufacturer who puts together an item such as an automobile and then has it sold by a dealer to a consumer, that any one of these entities within this, what they call the stream of commerce, can be sued. The person who made the wheel could have been sued. The person who manufactured the car, which is Buick, could be sued. And the person who's the dealer could be sued. Now, Cardozo says it's not the consumer's job to pick who to sue, that they're not going to have their injuries made non-recoverable because they didn't sue the person because they didn't have exact knowledge of whose responsibility was where. What he says is they all put it in the stream of commerce and they're all liable. Now, because you have comparative negligence, they could have gone to each other to be able to recover and provide what is called indemnification after they pay out the plaintiff. So after Buick paid the damages to Mr. McPherson, they could have turned around and sued the manufacturer of the wheel for giving them a defective wheel, which caused them to have to pay damages to Mr. McPherson. Similarly, if there was any liability on behalf of the dealer, Buick could have sued the dealer on that. And similarly, if Mr. McPherson had sued the dealer instead of the manufacturer, they couldn't point like this, and that they could be held fully accountable for all the damages because they sold that item to Mr. McPherson, and that dealer would have had to seek indemnification back from Buick Motor Car Company and the wheel manufacturer. So Cardozo says two things here. He says in product liability cases, is so long as someone in the chain of commerce can see that the defectiveness of the product could cause an injury to reasonably foresee that it could cause an injury to the consumer, you got liability. And they have full and complete liability, joint and several liability, as they call it. And they have to pay the whole recovery. That amongst them, the different people in the stream of commerce, they can apportion that amongst themselves by means of subsequent litigation. But at the end of this, yes, there's foreseeability because they should have inspected it. They should have seen it. And they put on a defective product. There was really no dispute that the wheel was defective. It could be easily spotted, and it was under investigation. It was shown that those spokes were bad. They should have never put it on the car. The dealer should have never sold it to Mr. McPherson, and it should have never left Buick Motor Car in that condition. The manufacturer of the wheel should have never used that wood for the spokes. The consumer under this case, and from then on, based on these writings of Benjamin Cardozo, is always going to be able to maintain a recovery if he can show anyone in the stream of commerce should have known this. And they could show foreseeability occurred here, and Mr. McPherson received a recovery. Next week, we're on to commercial paper, checks, notes, drafts. I hope you're going to enjoy that. I hope you enjoyed torts. We'll see you next time. Thanks so much.